Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome Patty M., a compulsive overeater from New York.
Close enough. My name is Patty, and I am a compulsive overeater. I have been around the rooms for a very long time, more than 40 years. I have been abstinent now since July 4th, the first week of July last year, so almost 11 months, and have been taken through the steps for the second time. The first time I came into the rooms, I was 20 years old. And there's another member here in the States that often says, the program was there, but I wasn't given the right information. So for a lot of years, I was in and out of the rooms, and there wasn't really emphasis on the steps and the Big Book. So I came in at 20, having struggles with myself, with my weight, with some bulimia. And I am 63 now. So it's been a long time, but some years of absence of not being in. So I'll give you a little history. When I was a kid, I remember eating faster than other kids at lunch, and you know, them commenting like, "You're done already." So consciously trying to slow down, or I couldn't, or I would just save these like last two bites till somebody else finished. But I don't remember sneaking food as a kid, but I was, from second grade on, I was chubby, lost some weight in high school, and started to struggle up and down. And I really crossed a line when I was 19 years old. I was going to Nutrisystem, which I don't know if you have that in Canada, but it's a packaged food type of thing. And I'm sure the food is bad enough now. I think it's dehydrated stuff that you add water to. But then it was really like dog food. I mean, it was like canned food and it was gross, except there was a chocolate muffin mix that I would make. So I started going there, was losing some weight. And 1 week I didn't lose weight. And the lady suggested I take a laxative. And I did. And the next time I went, I lost 4 pounds. So I liked this idea. And I started taking the laxatives more regularly. And then I started getting really out of control with those muffins, because they're a muffin, a chocolate muffin. So I couldn't eat just one. And I would just, you know, keep eating them. So, and I was going to go there and get on the scale, so I would take more laxatives. And that cycle began. 1 week I was taking a class in New York City. I was taking a bus from where I lived. And I just remember that feeling of being on that bus in the traffic and thinking, I'm not going to make it, because I took the laxatives, and thinking, oh my gosh, I am not going to make it. And swearing to myself that that night I wouldn't take them again, but I binged, so I would take them again. And just running off that bus into the bathroom in the Port Authority. And then I had a 10 block walk, and same thing, almost like I didn't know I was going to make it. And then a 3 floor walk up when I got there. And like the insanity, the story of the jaywalker didn't seem that crazy to me when you think, like, why would somebody continue to take them, you know, when you're like came so close to having an accident like that. But nevertheless, that's when it really kind of started. And I couldn't really control my eating for any length of time anymore. And that fall, when I was doing the Nutrisystem, for Thanksgiving, they told us to, just go off it for a day, take a break for the day for Thanksgiving. And I did. And then between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I gained all the weight back. So that was kind of the beginning of the craziness in there. So I think Pat has some pictures. So I'll just show you some of the pictures so you can get an idea of what it was like. I'll try to be what it was like and what happened. So this is 5 years ago, and I gained a significant amount of weight when I met my husband. So you can see Easter is April, November. By November, that's Thanksgiving, and the next one, Christmas, I had gained about 30 pounds in that time because I'd been divorced. I met him, and I was like, never thought I would meet someone again at my age, and just romantic, going out to dinner. And I'm not an alcoholic, but alcohol is a tough thing for me because I don't drink the brown stuff. I like the sweet stuff, like girly cocktails. So it's kind of a gateway food. So I consider it a red light food for me now. So was just like romantic, going out and having a cocktail or drinking more, wine. And not that I ever drank big amounts, but just more frequently. And then, of course, letting go of the food and just eating. My husband likes to cook. So you can go to the next one. I was so miserable. This is 2 years ago. In the wedding was in September of 24. It's my husband's son, and I tried a couple things. I hired a personal coach, and just wasn't. I was just in the cycle, and I just was so miserable. And my daughter-in-law kept asking me for a year if I got a dress yet. And I would say no, because I always had this crazy hope that somehow I could drop 50 pounds real fast. And she kept asking me if I got a dress, and I said no. And of course, I waited till about a month before, and I was miserable in that dress, that blue dress. And right after the wedding, I don't remember how many hundreds of dollars it was, but I put it in the donation bin because I hated how I looked in that. And that whole wedding was uncomfortable for me. And also, when I was that overweight and when I was binging, my feet would swell. So in the blue dress, we were ready early and walking around, and the heels weren't even that high, but my feet were just swelling and swelling. And I by the time like after we walked in there, my feet were killing me. I was hanging over the shoes. And when we walked into the reception, I had to change into flip-flops by that time. I couldn't stand it anymore. And my feet don't really swell like that. In the heat now, they could a little bit, but nothing to where I don't fit in my shoes anymore. And I'm so grateful. So that's one of the physical painful things and benefits of being in recovery. You could do the next one, Pat. That's last summer. So here I have, it's my sister-in-law. I haven't lost a significant amount yet. It's probably August. I got abstinent in July. But I think what I see in that picture is that the lights went back on in my eyes and my face. And I can see that I feel free from the bondage. And on the right was January. That was at the OA birthday party here. It was in New York, and that was great to be there. And you could do the next one, Pat. These are two birthdays. One is January of 25, and the other one is January of 26. And I think you can see the difference there. And my friends and family did decide they must order a piece of some dessert and stick it in my face with a candle, but I did not eat it. That was this past January. But I think you can see the difference there. And then, is there one more, Pat? Is that it? Okay. So that was, some of the physical. Also, in my 30s, I had a lap band surgery. I lost 90 something pounds. And shortly after I had the lap band, it was new, it broke, and I had to have another surgery. And a couple of years later, I had another surgery because it broke again. And then during a period of abstinence in 2017, I had it taken out. So I had a total of four surgeries on the lap band. Just insanity around food and not being able to control, my eating. And I've done all of them. There was the Fen-phen drug years ago, all kinds of crazy diets, the cabbage soup diet, Weight Watchers, Lean Line, all these things. And I just, after that period of time that I was, when I was 19, I just usually could not maintain anything for very long. I couldn't do it. I'd have the best intentions and not, not be able to do it. In and out of the rooms then. And here's another example of the insanity. A few times I had a year of abstinence, but I wasn't working the steps yet. I had not really gone through the steps the big book way. And had a year of abstinence, went to a wedding, they started passing out the cake, and I was like, I think I can do this. It'll be controlled now. I don't have any cake at home. I'll just eat the slice of cake in front of me and I'll be okay. So I ate the slice, was like, next day, why don't we try this again? Why don't I go get some cake? Why don't I go get some sugar is really my heroin. And then off to the races and into relapse. I did that a second time. And by the third time I did this, I was at a wedding again with my ex-husband and had a year of abstinence. He went to the bathroom and he used to make comments about my weight. So he went to the bathroom and they came around with the cake and I ate mine. Then I ate his. And then the couple next to us got up and I ate theirs. And then I pushed all the plates to the other side of the table before he got back. And I told him, oh, they brought the cake, but I know you didn't really want any because it wasn't a sweet eater. But the panic, my heart was racing. He was going to come back and catch me eating all those pieces of cake and I would be humiliated, but I still did it. And so from there, that was another one, another time of relapse. In 2016, I came back in the rooms after a little period of being away. And I always knew this woman who had talked about working the steps, the AA way, the big book way. And I saw a flyer at a meeting that said she was doing a workshop of the 12 steps, working the steps the big book way. And I grabbed it and I went to that workshop. And I got a sponsor. That was 10 years ago. That was the first time I did that. I went through the steps the big book way. My step sponsor asked me if I needed to do food too, and I told her no, I have a food sponsor, but I had a food sponsor who was very loose with the plan, and I was very loose with the plan. So I was still I was abstinent. I did lose weight, but I was still drinking alcohol sometimes and kind of loosely doing the food. And I did a thorough inventory, but I had a hard time. I had a really hard time seeing my part all the time. I had some things happen as a kid in that, and so I just saw myself as a victim. And I was married to the first husband and had stepchildren, and everyone told me how wonderful I was and that I was the best thing that ever happened to them, and all these things were happening. And I was believing that. So I was having a hard time seeing myself and seeing my part. When I did that work, my sponsor would try to twist it into my brain, and I was like, it was just tough. So I don't think that I had the, I did better, but I didn't have really the full understanding of what needs to happen to really to be well. After all, the food is the symptom. And so I was in the rooms until when 2020 hit, some of the meetings closed, some of them went to Zoom, and they weren't very good at that time. Like, there weren't many people on them, they weren't structured. When this was just thrown together so quickly when 20 everything shut down in 2020. So I just kind of lost interest and stopped really attending meetings. And then in 21, I met my husband, and that's when I started. In that first year, I gained 30 pounds just from going out to eating with him, with his family. He likes to cook. He cooks like a man. And how I mean that is, like, no regard for, like, the fats, the oils, the butters, the things that are going into the food. And I, having been in the program so young, even when I wasn't abstinent, I just never cooked that way. I just always kind of cooked like I was on a diet, and maybe I ate the wrong stuff, but I just never really cooked that way. So
15 minutes.
the weight, thank you, the weight came on, very quickly. And in these last 5 years, well, I've been absent almost a year, so in those 4 years, just struggled. I struggled with, having a personal coach. There's a plan in New Jersey. It's called NJ Diet. It's very expensive and it's very restrictive. And that was a tough one. And I did it for you. It's a 40-day plan. I did it for 40 days. And on the 41st day, you're supposed to wean onto, like, having food. And I went out to dinner on the 41st day, had pasta and drank wine in that. So that was the end of, like, whatever I lost in that period of time. So when I bring up to speed, like, last year, last spring, I just was feeling so hopeless, so helpless with the food, miserable in my body, miserable in every way, at home, at work, and in every way. And I was trying to get GLP drugs at the time, and my insurance doesn't cover them. And I kept trying and I kept fighting with it and didn't. And I was just crying. I remember crying in the shower almost every day for a period of time and just saying, God, you need to help me. I can't get the drugs. What am I going to do? You need to help me. I don't even know where meetings are anymore because I was out of touch. And one day I remembered the vision phone calls that are at 7 a.m. I remembered that. And I was like, I could start there. And I still had the number in my phone. And so I started listening. And I work in a school and I have to be in by 8. So I would list start at home, switch over to the car, and then I had to sign off just before the Serenity Prayer because I had to go into school. And so I didn't, it took me till school got out to be able to stay behind and introduce myself and get some numbers. And people reached out to me, told me of other meetings. Someone said about the Zoom meetings, and I was like, yeah, but they were terrible 5 years ago, but they're great now. I don't have to leave my home. I can go to all have a choice of so many different meetings at any time of day. I chose a sponsor, and so, like I said, so somewhere in the first week of July, and I call it my abstinence day, the 4th of July, because that's Independence Day here in the United States. And I just remember that we had company and I was abstinent that day. So it was probably a day or two before. But what's changed is I have really understood how much I need to change emotionally and then spiritually. And I've always believed in God, but I had to draw closer to God because I can't do the change of my thinking and emotionally without having that connection and without having put the food down. I am so blessed that I have food neutrality. I don't eat sugar, flour, I don't drink alcohol. And pretty quickly, I think within a few days of being willing to put the food on the scale and measure it and get on a plan, I was relieved of that part. And it's very rare. I really don't ever crave things. I don't look for things. It's maybe sometimes in a crowd, I go, I wish I could eat that, once in a while and not binge, but I don't really. I'm very happy with the way I eat. Some changes, I don't have the swollen feet. Also, I'm 63 and I just thought it was age, but my body was hurting me every day. I was popping Advil like crazy, like three, four at a time, multiple times a day, because my body hurt so much. And alcohol and sugar are very inflammatory. And I don't take any Advil at all anymore. I don't have it anymore. I don't have that pain anymore. I've probably taken Advil twice in the past year for a headache. But my husband would say, that's not good for your stomach to keep taking that. But I was like, I can't walk. I just would take it so many times a day. It was awful. But emotionally, I understand how resentments really start with me. The school year before this one, I had someone I didn't like. She didn't like me. I used to text my sister-in-law, I hate her. She would know who I was talking about. And it was like, I did my four step last summer, and by the time I went back to school, I didn't feel that way about her anymore. I never feel like I hate her. She still does things that I don't agree with at work, but I don't feel that way. I don't have a burning resentment for her anymore, and really for anyone anymore, like I used to. And I'm able to let things go more readily. I do a 10 step. I text my food every morning to my sponsor, and I do a 10 step and text it to her every night. And I come across some of the same things, some of the same stumbling blocks for the last couple of months in my 10 steps and resentments, and realizing there's fear behind them. And that I don't, it's embarrassing to keep writing the same things down. I need to figure out what this is and get past it. And so I've been able to do that quite a bit. And also go to a two-way prayer meeting, and that's helpful. But I think that what I'm understanding about steps six and seven, with the defects and wanting to have a different kind of a life, is when I am blessed to be food neutral, but I had to be willing to put down the food, to weigh it, measure it, to commit it to somebody. I had to do that work first. And then I believe that getting it out of my system, but God helps me that it's really kind of gone right now. I'm not fooled into thinking that I'm cured and I can't go back after this year and have that piece of cake at a wedding. I understand that. But that was my part. I had to do my part by being willing to put it down, to weigh, measure, to do all that and commit, because I'm not normal in that respect. And the same thing where I was coming across these stumbling blocks with resentments is I need to do my part. So, like, to do things differently, to say things differently, to not say things when I want to say things that are unkind or whatever. And I'm starting to recognize that and asking God to change my heart, change my heart, change my thinking, and stop the words if I'm feeling or thinking something unkind. I don't know if that's making sense, but that's sort of six and seven, like asking God to remove them. I got to do my part. He's not just gonna remove these defects of character. I have to take some steps until they become a working part of the mind, as it says in the big book. So that is getting better and drawing closer to God. The two-way prayer really does help me to feel like I connect. What else? What else have I got? So emotionally just getting better, spiritually drawing closer to God. Physically, my body is so much better, feeling so much better. Just not having that kind of pain, embarrassment, and all of that. Oh, and then here's another benefit of the body being better, getting dressed for school was a nightmare. The night before, I would think, oh, I gotta figure out, because I'd be up early. I have to figure out what I'm gonna wear. It was a nightmare. Sometimes I didn't have anything to wear because I didn't like to shop when I was heavy, so I wouldn't have very many choices. Sometimes I had to throw something in the wash that I already wore, and just like trying to figure out, it was like an awful stressful thing. And now, I have more clothes. My clothes fit. I have old clothes that are 10 years old that fit. I have new clothes. So it's like it's actually fun at night. I'm like, oh, I look at the weather. What am I going to wear tomorrow? I have a lot of options. It's really nice that I'm not worried about things are not going to fit me or be too small, or I only have three options in the closet. So that's really a that's been a blessing too. And also, the other thing late at night before school was my school doesn't have a cafeteria, so you have to bring your lunch. Lonely lunches are brought in for kids. So then I would go like, oh God, what am I going to bring to school for lunch? And like now it's just so much easier. It's such a relief. Like I make my dinner. I'm weighing and measuring my dinner. Most times there's enough there to then I just weigh and measure out my lunch for the next day and just pack it up when I'm doing my dinner. And it's just really simple. So life is simpler in that way. I don't have the kind of stress that I would feel like just in the day-to-day of that. So I used to not want to wear shorts because of those on the hottest days in New Jersey because of my feet and my ankles being so swollen. So I'd make it worse by wearing long pants and being so hot. And like now I will wear shorts. My legs are not perfect, but I don't have the big swollen feet and ankles. So there's just so much freedom. There's physical freedom. There is the emotional freedom that is so much better of not be just being in the bondage and being a slave to this disease. And when I am stuck and I can't figure out what my next steps are, I have steps. I have people. I have fellows that can help me with that. And I have prayer and meditation. So I have a design for living. And it's really quite miraculous to think of all the things I've done, all the money I've spent, and that this is a free gift that we have here that we're so blessed to have. And recently, I'll just wrap up with this. I got to go to the Stepping Stones in New York. That is the home of Bill and Lois Wilson. And it was so cool to go there. They lived in Brooklyn before, and then later on in recovery years, someone like almost donated this really big property and home where they lived for a very small amount of money to them. And so there's a big house. There is a writing workshop where Bill did his writing, and his original desk is there. And there's a lot of things in the house you're not allowed to touch, but you can sit at his desk and take a picture at his desk. And then in the kitchen, you can sit at the original little enamel table where Ebby came to tell Bill about what had happened with him, where he came to carry the message. It was so cool. It was like being in sacred ground. And our tour guide knew so much and said, that they just opened their doors day and night. There was this giant coffee pot, not the kind that those real big ones at parties with the urn. It was literally one of those percolator pots on the stove that was huge, that was on their stove, that they just took people in day or night. People just came and knocked at their door that needed help. And they still have a big picnic there every year. So it's an AA Al-Anon thing. And it's just very cool. Lots and lots of pictures there, and cool stuff to see. So I am so grateful to them for writing all of this down for all of us and for all the people before me who've carried the message. And I hope that I can continue to do the same. So I thank you all for inviting me, and I have a minute to spare, and I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Patty. That's great.